Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz is alongside. And we are two periods down in the Stanley Cup final, game number six. They've done it before, the Edmonton Oilers. They've had to come back before. They've had to come back from this very score before, because after two periods, they are down 3-0. It would leave, if Florida goes on to win, it would leave Canada without a Stanley Cup championship yet again. It would leave Edmonton still searching after 3.5 decades without a Stanley Cup championship yet again. It would mean that Florida would be consecutive champions against the same team 2 years in a row. It would mean that the Panthers would have won two of the last three cups as they've been in two of the last three cups. And it would mean that out of 4 of the last 6 years, the Stanley Cup would be won by a Florida team. And the Florida teams, be it Tampa Bay or Florida, have represented the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals in every year since 2020. The Lightning won two and then lost. The Panthers lost one and then won. And we'll see what happens here tonight. So Edmonton is in a very familiar situation. All series long, they've had to force comebacks. Even forcing a comeback from down 3-0, can they do it tonight? I will go to our resident hockey expert, Carlos Ortiz. Carlos, does this one seem over to you? Again, you're our resident hockey expert in that you know more than me.
So here, get ready for some expert deep dive
also, what's up, Carlos?
Hi, Bart. All right, so let me give you the X's and O's and everything that I've seen so far. This game's over.
The Florida Panthers seem to me like a team that people don't like actively root for. I don't know if they hate, but they don't seem.
Oh, I hate them because they knocked out the Rangers last year. So, yeah, I do have a personal hatred for Florida, but can't deny they're good. They're good at every facet of the game, and they play a lot of bully hockey, which is good too, because you know some of these soft skills guys get pushed around, and I think that's what's happening with the Oilers right now. Connor McDavid, outside of one goal, has been an absolute no-show, so I'm not surprised at the result right now. I firmly believe that this is over, and in about an hour, we'll talk about how this happened.
Well, all right. Well, we got one goal for Matthew Tkachuk. We got two goals for Sam Reinhart, who has been a monster all series against Edmonton. And it is 3-0 after two periods of play with the Florida Panthers on top of the Edmonton Oilers. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You may have also seen that at least stateside, ratings for the Stanley Cup are a little bit down. It's on cable television, it helps when it's on a broadcast network. I think TNT has done a pretty admirable job with it. I don't know if you guys saw Charles Barkley's down there in that ice position as a reporter, which I think that's a good way to use him. I don't think that's a bad way. I'm going to say, what is the word I'm looking for? Bad. The word is bad. I don't think it's the wrong way to use him. And I don't think it makes light of anything. I think he's eager to be there, and they got a good crew, and they're smart, so it's a good broadcast. On the other hand, ratings also a little bit down with the NBA Finals. We don't know last night's yet. And again, let me say something about the ratings story. And I've dabbled in this before, but it's a good reminder. And in case you haven't heard me explain anything and you hear these stories about ratings, let me tell you what the hell's going on here. It doesn't matter what the ratings are. It really does not matter. The NBA is not going to lose any money off of lower ratings. They've got their big TV deal. And even if they didn't, this is a live sport property. Okay? Live sport properties. That's what's driving television as you know it. Live sports properties. Let me tell you this. Here's a little fun fact. I just saw this today. For the first time ever, more people last month watched television while streaming than they did the combination of cable and broadcast TV for the first time ever. So out of all the TV viewing that had happened, 24% of it happened on cable TV, TNT, ESPN, ridiculous on MTV and the like. 20% of it was on over-the-air television. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, PBS, the other ones you get. MeTV if you got your digital. So that adds up to 44.2%. But 44.8% was on YouTube, Netflix, Prime Video, Disney, Hulu, and all of those. Streaming apps beat the combination of cable and broadcast. Streaming apps beat the combination of cable and broadcast. They are hanging on by a thread. Okay? They are hanging on by a thread. So, the one thing that people are watching them for is live television. Even, can you think of like, a show you watch. Just think of any show that you watch. Like a real 60-minute or 30-minute show. All right, you got that show in your head. What streaming service is that on? It's probably HBO, The Last of Us. Or you like something else on Showtime. Or you're into something on Amazon or Disney or Netflix. If you're like, nope, that wasn't my show. I actually picked one of Gordon Ramsay's 9 shows. I actually picked, American Idol. Or I picked Blue Bloods or CSI or FBI or NCIS or JAG or ESQPHIJKLMN. Whatever show you picked, if it was a broadcast show, do you watch it live? You probably don't. It's probably DVR, which what do you do when you watch it on DVR? You skip the commercials. So the reason that it doesn't matter with these ratings is it's live programming. You watch it live. You watch it live. Now, it's getting fractured, and there are some things I want to talk about that at some point this week because we're losing the communal aspect of sports with not everything being over the air. We are losing that to some degree. But the ratings don't matter. Where the ratings do matter, because they don't matter for the bottom line, if the networks are going to make money on inventory, it's going to be how many games the series was played. That matters. But it's not going to hurt the NBA's bottom line. It's not going to hurt the NHL's bottom line. The rights deals are going to be the rights deals. And even like baseball's ratings were going up a little bit, but then they screwed up and didn't make as much money off the streaming packages as some of the other sports did. So, you got to still have people in charge that know what they're doing, so it doesn't even guarantee a big chunk of money in the first place. So the ratings, I'm saying, when you hear the phrase, oh, this year's finals between the Pacers and the Thunder, the ratings are lower, the lowest since COVID, it doesn't matter. It does not matter for the bottom line. Where it matters is in the court of public perception and with people who use the ratings as a narrative to fit their agenda. Like the NBA is down, the NBA's not as good as it used to be, the NBA's too woke, any of that stuff. That's where the rating conversation comes in. That's when it comes in. So what the NBA would like to do is still keep the narrative moving that it's not any of those things, that it is on the up and up, that it is accepted by all, that it is as good as it's ever been, because then that might translate to different opportunities and different fan engagement, so on and so forth. So that's where it matters. The actual number doesn't matter. Nobody can differentiate. 9 million, is that good? 13 million, is that good? 5 million, is that good? What does it know? It was a 3.9 rating. Oh, it was a 6.2 rating. It was a 1.6 rating. What does that know? I see some people that they like tweet their afternoon ratings. Well, I got a 1.8 out of what? From where? From who? So it does not matter what the number is. What matters is the rating in the court of public perception, which the NBA admittedly is suffering right now with this series. Not as many people are watching this series as they should be. It's been a very interesting, compelling series. There's a lot of people who, over the years, stopped watching basketball because the three-point line, or they don't do this, it's not physical. So now I'm separating all the other narrative stuff. Now I'm focusing squarely on what happens on that court. There's a lot of people who don't think basketball's as good as it used to be. That it's too soft, that the guys don't care as much, that they're not as physical, and it's not perfect. There's still the question of, should that have been a foul, and is that really a flagrant, and, you know, back in my day, whatever. But if you're someone who likes basketball and how it looks, you would like this series. If you like basketball, if you like watching a random Big East game on a Monday night, or if you've got a free weekend night and the high school boys team is playing down the street and you're like, I'm going to go watch it at its purest form, and you pay $3 and you get a ticket and a popcorn. If that's what you're into, you would like this series. It's been good. It's been good. But it's hard to get somebody to watch it just based on it's good basketball. There's got to be a compelling angle to it as well. There's got to be good storylines. You've got to have some familiarity. And there is a culprit that has sort of put a fire extinguisher out on whatever flame the series could be, and that's the NBA in and of itself. That's the NBA in and of itself. The model is different. It's 16, 17 weeks. It's very built for our digestion habits when I talk about the NFL. But it can be done where you have leagues that are celebrated for the teams' nicknames and not the city names. Talked about this. We say the Packers and the Chiefs and the Colts and the Bills instead of Green Bay, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Buffalo. But in this series, it's Oklahoma City versus Indiana, because they're not one of the brands that have been built up for us over the last however many years. The Pacers were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They got no love all season. The Oklahoma City Thunder have been a team that's been building to this spot, and a number one seed last year, they got little love. I mean, it's very ironic that these two teams did not play on Christmas, yet played each other on December 26th. So, what could have been done to make sure the ratings were better? To make sure the narrative around this series was better? Because as good as it is, and as much as we talk about it every night, you then get hit the next day with the lowest since outside of the bubble. And you're like, oh man, why aren't people getting into this? What is the deal? And I think a huge problem, a huge, 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 huge problem, maybe the biggest problem, is how it is covered on television outside of the games. There's been a lot of criticism about the games themselves and the broadcast coverage of them. ABC is, I mean, they're throwing stuff against the wall here in this finals. They ripped together a broadcast team. They moved on from Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, and then they had Doc, and then he went to coach. They tried JJ. He goes to coach. They got Doris Burke and Richard Jefferson and Mike Breen, and individually they have their strengths. Collectively, it seems very mishmash. They had to get bullied into showing the starting lineups, which adds it. I mean, we didn't want it just because. I mean, we wanted it because it looked. Yeah, we did. We wanted it because it looked cool and it made it feel bigger. It made the moment feel bigger. When you air the national anthem and the pregame and the starting lineups, it makes the game feel bigger. It does. So we bullied him into that. There's no finals logo. The halftime show is an absolute wreck. I mean, nobody knows if they're coming or going. They don't know what's up. The problem is, outside of when these games are broadcast, the NBA does not do a good job with its coverage. Specifically, the TV partners of the NBA. There was an example of that today regarding the Memphis Grizzlies, as they have suddenly popped up as a storyline here during the NBA Finals between two other teams. They made a trade, but that story was done. Now it's, let's crap on the city of Memphis, which is just a really weird way to take this the morning after Game 5 of the NBA Finals. So I want to get more into that coming up. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We've got the third period underway. Florida up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup. Edmonton, they need a lot, and they don't got a lot of time to do it. 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside. 5 more minutes have gone by in this hockey game, and it is still 3-0. Florida on top of the Edmonton Oilers. Game 6 in the NBA Finals will be on Thursday. Could be the series clincher for the Oklahoma City Thunder after winning Game 5 last night. And I don't think the series has lacked juice. It's been a good series. And if you're into the series, you're into the series. You're really enjoying it. but there's a lot of people who are not into the series. It means very little to them, and there are people that follow the NBA. And there are people that follow the NBA, like right now they follow the NBA. They're just not watching the games. This Desmond Bain trade? Oh, they're following that. Oh, 5 first-round picks for Desmond Bane to the Magic. Oh, the Magic could be really good next year. They're following that. The Knicks, they don't have a coach, and they're interviewing teams that already have coaches. Everyone's saying no. That's so hilarious. They're following that. Kevin Durant, is he going to get traded? Who's he going to be? Oh, he doesn't want the Timberwolves. He wants the Spurs. They're following that because that's the product that's been sold to you in the NBA. The product that's been sold to you in the NBA is a few teams, a handful of players, and transactions. The offseason's better than the regular season. People didn't just say that because it was a thing to, like, at times it was true. At times it was more exciting. We talk about that Luka trade a lot. How many Laker games did you watch after that? How many Mavericks games did you watch after that? The transaction was the story. How it affected these teams afterwards, maybe not so much. So I think that what the NBA needs to realize going forward, is they need to do a better job of highlighting these players or highlighting these teams, finding a way, maybe some more interviews throughout the week or some packages during the game, something. And one of the things they could do is they could get better out of their TV partner. And I mentioned this late last night. I said, I don't think my job is to be like, all right, it's the Bart Winkler Show. Tonight we're going to talk about what happened on Stephen A. Smith today and Pat McAfee today, and we're going to talk about what happened on Colin Cowherd today, and we're going to talk. Well, I don't think that's my job. If there's pertinent things that are coming up, you bring it up if it's in the national discourse, just like the whole world should be talking about the fact that I said Aaron Rodgers is not a married man, and now his family is thinking that that's true. Did you see that article? They don't think he's really married. They can't find any confirmation from anywhere. They've checked courthouses. They've checked Vegas. There's no confirmation. Aaron Rodgers may be wearing a wedding ring, and he may have been in a relationship for a few months. He may call this person his wife. He is not married. Who was on that? Me. So let's start aggregating this, please. Let's start aggregating some of my greatest hits. Please. One of the problems that they have is, let's take Monday morning, for instance. Monday morning, ESPN, which airs the finals. So I'm not just bringing them up because I want to bring them up. I'm bringing them up because they are the NBA Finals TV partner. Okay? They're airing, ABC, ESPN, this is the same entity. They are airing Game 5 that night. They didn't get into the NBA Finals until 38 minutes into their Get Up program because they were talking about the Desmond Bain trade, which you could also say, should that be something that the NBA course corrects? Why are these trades able to go on? It's one thing to fire a coach and look for a coaching search, but why should the Desmond Bain news be taking up any amount of time? Should they not be able to make trades until later? The NFL doesn't let you make trades during the Super Bowl. MLB doesn't let you make trades during the World Series. There was the one year Scott Boras was like, oh, by the way, A-Rod's not going to the Red Sox. He's going to the Yankees. And everyone's like, whoa, why are you saying this now, dude? They already got mad at him. Because it's like an unwritten thing, like, let the thing be the thing. But in the NBA, it's all encouraged. And it's not just, oh, well, you know, Memphis has got to do what's best for them. Indiana made a trade today. The Indiana Pacers, who are in the finals, they're trading their number 23 pick and the rights to a guy to the Pelicans for a pick next year. They're making trades during all of this. What I think is a problem is they have not spent, the NBA and their TV partners, enough time over the last 10 years making us think that Indiana or Oklahoma City is important. And in the NFL, every team is important. They've done it. They've done it. There's some teams that are going to get talked about less throughout the course of this given season. There's some teams that are going to get talked about more. But every team is important. And more importantly, you've become interested in them based on the coverage. I could talk about the New Orleans Saints, who are expected to be terrible. But we could do segments on them. And there would be a level of engagement from the audience that there would not be if I were to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans. So it's not a New Orleans issue. It's the way the league is presented. It's the way the TV partners cover it. Nobody's taking a star on the Saints and saying, we got to get him out of here. But they're looking at players like on the Pelicans over the years and saying, well, we got to get him out of there to one of these eight markets that were acceptable to talk about, or with one of these eight players that were acceptable that they team up with. It's just a fundamental difference in the coverage. You couldn't imagine turning on the Sunday morning talk shows for the ESPN, the pregame shows, and they would be spending any time on, Josh Allen in Buffalo. If it's not going to work out, we really got to get him to New York City. That would be absurd. But that's what happens on ABC, on their halftime show. They're talking KD. They're talking pregame show. They're talking all these other guys. And then there was something that popped up this morning. So ESPN, again, covering the NBA Finals, talking about the Desmond Bane trade, which, okay, that's fine. But then it turns to nobody wants to play in Memphis. This was a conversation between Marcus Morris and, of course, Stephen A. Smith. And now we're taking another city and team that we could be using as a moment to build up. Because nobody was building up Indiana for all these years. Nobody was building up Oklahoma City for all these years. Well, now Memphis has made a trade. So let's talk about it from that perspective. Why did they make this trade? What are they going to do? Look at Ja. Look at Jaren Jackson Jr., who they are looking to extend these guys. How do the new pieces fit? Is there another move coming? What is their future? How are they going to stack up in the West? Do they have enough? You could talk about it from that angle. Instead, on First Take today, it was nobody likes playing in Memphis because of reasons.
Marcus, listen, I know y'all got to go. You going to tell folks why nobody wants to be in Memphis, or you want me to do it?
Oh, no. For a player like me, I just don't think that the league, like, for guys like me, I love to be in Memphis. I embrace it. But you got to identify those guys, right? And it's not that simple, especially a younger guy to identify that but wants to be in Memphis.
I want to hear you say why you think.
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. Yeah. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know. They've told me.
I don't understand. I don't understand what we're doing with that. I don't. NBA players don't want to play in Memphis because of, fill in the blank on your reasons there. Ja Morant tweeting this morning that he's going to be in the 901 grizzly bear emoji, that being the area code, source me. He then tweeted, talking about the Grizz more than the finals with these cap sources. Instead of focusing on the performances we've seen from J-Dub, Shea, TJ Siakam, how the series is going, we say something negative about a team, city on a national level. And he's right. That is right. Ja Morant saying, you're not talking about the finals. You're talking about how Memphis is a terrible city and nobody wants to live there. Well, guess what? About 2 hours ago, Stephen A. Smith, he tweeted Ja Morant. So this is what we're doing now, Ja Morant. I recall talking about the finals, but the Memphis Grizz made news because of Bane getting traded. That's fair. And your possible extension coming up. Now he goes, would you prefer I go into detail about what the hell has been going on in Memphis? Why players have stated they're not interested in going? Or even more details? Or would you like me to leave well enough alone and get the great peeps of Memphis to address it on their own? You call. Your call. I'm all ears. There's no need for a response because now he's going to bring it up on the show tomorrow, taking away more coverage. Just like when they got in that fight, it was him and LeBron James. Oh, no, I wasn't going to respond. But then Stephen A. Smith fundamentally may be Adam Silver's biggest challenge right now. He is the guy on all the NBA shows. He is the guy at some level dictating your NBA coverage. And then when we're talking about all this other stuff and we're not enjoying Oklahoma City and Indiana, it's because it's not being celebrated by that guy. I mean, this is a guy who, when the finals were in Milwaukee, said, I don't want to go to Milwaukee. It's too damn cold. The finals that year, by the way, were played in July. Can I have you look at the temperature in July in Milwaukee? It's the same it is everywhere. It's hot. Sorry we don't have beaches on the shores of a beautiful body of water. Oh, by the way, we do. Lake Michigan. We got beaches. I saw a naked girl there the other day. Mm-hmm. I was driving home at 1:30 at night, and there was a woman just walking naked. And it was weird, and I don't really know what happened after that, but I did feel like I needed to get that off my chest that that's something I saw. That sounds like a fun city to play a finals in. So the TV partner portion of this is a problem. And if Memphis gets into a finals at some point, well, then this is the conversation that's been the, this is where the groundwork of the conversation is being laid. Conversation last week, is Giannis an underachiever? He's only won one title. What are we doing? Can we talk about, can you find it for 2 weeks to talk about Indiana? Even if you're ripping on Tyrese's performance or ripping on Mark Daigneault's use of fouls and timeouts, talk about the games. The games that you're broadcasting, by the by. Florida scored again. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. An update on that. Bulletin Blitz coming up, but first, here's Marco Belletti.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest moments in the games.
Mookie jumps up and he has it in the glove, and a Yankee fan ripped it out of him. But the umpire down the right field line is signaling that is an out.
The biggest voices in sports.
Appreciate everything that, you know, the Houston Astros team, and I don't think I could have gone to, you know, a much better organization than the Cubs.
The heartbreak.
It's a party at Dodger Stadium. The New York Mets, as they leave the field and head to their clubhouse, have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of as they gave their fans one of the most memorable runs in their 63-year franchise history.
The celebrations.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz. It is Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. And I can't wait to get posts from this game. Probably play as soon as I can. Bart, the final score, Chicago Cubs 5, Milwaukee Brewers 3, to take the first game of the series. Ben Brown getting a win is something I did not envision saying today because his ERA is jacked. It's like close to 6. How about them apples, huh? Your team stinks. I want everybody to know that.
Yeah, Cubs fans, you guys are pretty fired up about this series.
Yeah.
Big brother, little brother syndrome rearing its ugly head.
I pumped the brakes there a little bit, all right? We need every win we can get. Let's go back to last night where the Indiana Pacers are at the brink of elimination, and it's the finals. You know what that means. They can only get runner-up if the Oklahoma City Thunder win it, and they have a chance to do so. Your final score is 120-109. Series heads back to Indiana for Game 6. Pascal Siakam, he had 28 points for the Pacers. But this is the first time that they're going to be trailing a series for the first time this postseason. And the hero of the day for Oklahoma City was Jalen Williams. He exploded for a career high in the playoffs, 40 points. Let's hear from both of them right now. Let's start with Pascal Siakam on what went down on this, what that went wrong during the stretch. And Jalen Williams says his only focus is winning.
We didn't make the necessary plays at the right time. You know, again, like we said, there was like some rebounding or turnovers there and there that they converted into buckets, and they made some tough shots, like tough shots after tough shots, you know, in those moments, and we weren't able to get anything really going offensively at that point.
It's something more that I'll like look back on later on than like worry about what kind of statement it makes. I think the only statement we have right now is we're up 3-2 and we still have to go earn another win. But it'll be cool to look back on later on.
All right, let me tell you something about the Pacers. They've been counted out in every series. They've won every series. They've had a game that they've been counted out in that game in every series. And they've won those games. They were counted out when they were 18-20 on December 31st. In the last two seasons, in Game 1 and 2... in the playoffs, they're 4-3. In games 3, they're 3-4. In game 4 of every series, they're 5-2. In game 5, that's not their best. They're 2-4. They've played in 3 game 6s in the last 2 years. They are 3-0 and 1-0 in game 7. So are we counting out the Pacers? I think we can. And Tyrese Halliburton's hurt. And we'll see the severity of that on Thursday, but it just feels like you need to. Okay, so one time I saw this dead rabbit in my driveway.
Whoa.
And I went inside to get like a garbage bag or however I was going to pick it up. And I came outside maybe 20 minutes later and it was still there. It was still dead. It's dead. But as I was shoveling into the bag, I thought, is there a chance this thing still blinks his eyes at me and is actually alive? I don't ever think I can count out that the Pacers are dead. Also, I'm brave. I got rid of a dead rabbit.
Good for you. You know what other chances are dead right now? And that's the Edmonton Oilers Stanley Cup chances. Those are dashed and dead as that rabbit. It is final. The Florida Panthers are your back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Final score 5-1. Absolutely dominating from pillar to post. Florida's going crazy. Hats all over the ice. Sticks all over the ice. And
Hold on. 8-7, because I'm on delay. 5, this is how long I am. 4-3-2-1. The Florida Panthers have just won the Stanley Cup.
For all of you who have been streaming the game and don't have cable, we will get some more about the Florida champions, Panthers, because I have to say Florida champions because like I mix up my words. But also Tampa has won a lot of cups, as you said earlier in the show. So congratulations to the Florida Panthers. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. Let's go to some baseball.
You might.
Well, I'll be ready. Okay. Let's go to baseball here. Rafael Devers, he got traded. That was the stunner
over the weekend. In fact, the news basically broke on Sunday Night Baseball, so ESPN had to like react to it in real time. He gets shipped off from Boston to San Francisco. So here is the new Giants designated hitter for now until they figure out a position for him. Rafael Devers via translator on what his mindset was Sunday when he found out about the trade.
Well, Sunday was a normal day for me until I found out that I was traded. But obviously, I took the news like a man, and I appreciate the fact that they traded me in order to give me the opportunity to continue playing baseball.
That's very well said. Bob Melvin.
Almost like it was translated.
Bob Melvin, prior to the game, said that he's going to Devers' hitting DH today, which he did get an RBI double already. So the Giants are playing the Guardians. It's 2-2. Devers is 1-for-2. He had an RBI double. But then he's going to take grounders at first base and eventually play first base for the Giants. So he's going to DH, which he was doing, and now didn't want to play first for Boston, but is going to play first for San Francisco. And just like that, it's all been settled. How about that?
Yeah, a little weird considering that was the big beef in Boston. Maybe he just didn't like the lack of communication. I'm sure more things are going to come out in the next week or so. But what a 180 for Devers. But whatever, he's getting paid, so what do I know? Let's shift gears to the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, he makes his pitching debut this season. This is coming up after UCL surgery, basically sidelined him from pitching most of last season and the bulk of this season right now. Obviously, he made his debut against the Padres. Dodgers won 6-3. Ohtani only did one inning, allowed a run, two hits. His ERA is 9, but as he continues to get stretched out, I'm sure the Dodgers will be very happy about that. And Dave Roberts was surprised pleasantly on how Ohtani looked on the mound after missing all this time.
Seeing how he's just managed the emotions of it all, you got to be extremely disciplined to be able to kind of put your mind and body in the position to do that. But the stuff, like I said, I didn't expect to see 100 tonight. I didn't expect to see the command that he had tonight. And the stuff was really good.
Yeah, touched 100, was sort of a little upset about a ball that he had. Dodgers used 7 pitchers in that game because Shohei just went the one inning, gave up the one earned run, 2 hits. So the issue or the question is going to be 28 pitches, so what's next? Are we up to 40? Are we up to 50? When do we get back to Shohei's going to be on the mound and he's got the chance to maybe go the distance? Or do the Dodgers not want to get to that point with some of their injuries? You think maybe they should, but Shohei's back, just in a very limited form as of now.
All right, let's get one last one in here. Let's go to the NFL, where the Ravens are trying to get things back together on track. They want to get in the deep postseason run. First, they need to get over the hump that is the Buffalo Bills, and part of that strategy is Lamar Jackson, as he talks about here, building chemistry with new teammates. DeAndre Hopkins, one of their new signings. Cooper Rush will be a backup quarterback there, I guess. John Jenkins, defensive tackle, one-year deal. Here's Lamar on the chemistry build.
Yeah, I feel like just bonding with my guys will help us out a lot more, you know, just on the field, just picking each other's brain, being around each other a lot more. We'll probably know what one of us is thinking ahead, you know, like we on the field, something going on. He already know what I'm thinking. I don't got to say too much.
Just a wild ending to their season last year with Mark Andrews dropping the pass. So Lamar's got to be a leader to both the new guys and to some of the guys that are returning, because the Ravens felt like that could have been it, but then for the Bills, felt like that could have been it, and once again, it was the Chiefs, who will not make the playoffs this year, according to Carlos
Ortiz.
That's right. It's the Bart Winkler Show, Florida, back-to-back champs, more coming up, Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.